This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
The real reason I really like for folks to use social is because, one, if you have a social presence, then that means that you're immersing yourself in the community. You also may run into people that also collect or they'll also sell like you. So they're going to be like-minded people. They're going to also have some of the same similar feedback that you're saying. And they're going to relate to what it is that you're talking about because they're in that world.
I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration that we hope will help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 308. Kiyomi, welcome back to Las Vegas. I hear it was a busy week.
That would be an understatement.
But you got a chance to meet with a lot of sellers.
Oh, yeah. It's very exciting. I mean, meeting sellers never gets boring, and it was nice to see familiar faces who I've seen in different like Zoom calls and Zoom meetings, but I don't know, just being able to see them again in person and being able to hug them and engage with them, and also meeting the newer sellers. This was their first engagement and interaction with eBay in any capacity besides, you know, just selling on the platform. It was almost like they had like this childlike wonder to them. And so being able to see that was really fun.
I think we take it for granted, but it is quite an experience coming to the campus because you really get to see, you can see everyone. I mean, there's very few places on campus that I think are off limits. And it's such history that that's where eBay's lived since 1996.
Oh, speaking of that.
What?
We all know what the first item sold on eBay was. And
yes.
On the last day, they didn't know where it was. It's in Main Street, we call it. And they start the morning, every morning, in that building. And no one had realized that the broken laser pointer is in that building.
It's under glass, right?
Yes. And it's right behind the piano now. And so on the first day, one of the sellers was playing the piano. And so they were all like looking at it without even knowing what they were looking at. And then the last day, they were like, where is this? Like, can we see it? Can we find it? And I was like, you guys haven't seen it? You've been in this building every single day. Like, you've seen it without noticing that you've seen it. And so I took them over there before they had to leave, and they were all like taking pictures, and it was almost like being in a museum.
Well, perhaps it needs to be moved to a better place of prominence where it can be seen behind the piano. I don't know. That sounds like a backup band. If you don't know the story, and I'm sure most people do, it was the first thing that sold on eBay on the first week in September of 1995. And it was something that Pierre had put up. It was a broken laser pointer. And that became part of the story of eBay. And years later, they tracked down the guy who bought it. And he said, well, I still got it here. It's not working. I'll donate it back to you. So it's kind of like a talisman that's now on display in what is called Main Street, the newest building on the campus. It's the one where they have the big room where we have all our meetings and everything. So anyway, yeah, well, I'm sorry I wasn't there. Maybe I'll be there next time. We'll see.
And Griff, I still have a fan to give you.
Oh, I love my fans.
Okay, that'll be the incentive if you want your fan.
Oh, this is the fan you fan yourself with. This isn't an actual person.
I love that that's where your mind went. I'm talking about the fan I got you from Japan.
Anyway, we're off on a tangent now.
I know, we're getting too far into it. I'm assuming we have a guest this week.
Not only do we have a guest, Kiyomi, we have two guests.
Oh, okay, you're spoiling them.
Mm-hmm. First up this week is our very own Chad Stewart from the eBay shipping team. He's going to share some shipping updates. And then we'll have a talk with Aaron White. Aaron's with our customer support organization. He's a growth advisor. And he's got some advice on how to best utilize eBay tools. And then we'll have a question to answer for you and I. It's about item specifics, and it's a good one. All that and more this episode. But first, I'm afraid to ask, is there any news?
You know, no news this week, so we'll take that as a good sign.
Yeah, no news is good news, I suppose. Okay, well, hopefully there'll be some news to report next week, but it's not like we don't have any content for this week, so let's get started. I'll catch up with you later for our You Got Questions segment. Deal?
Deal.
Terrific. Okay. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
See ya.
We like to check in from time to time with our shipping team to find out what's happening, what may be happening when it comes to shipping. I know this is a really big, important topic with you when you're selling on eBay. So joining us right now from the shipping team is the Director of U.S. Exports, Chad Stewart. Chad, welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be on, Griff. Good to talk to you again.
What do you have in the way of updates that our sellers would find intriguing or interesting?
Appreciate the opportunity to talk through shipping. Number of things happening right now in the shipping space. In the last couple of weeks, your sellers will know that we've recently announced that the eBay International Shipping Program has been expanded to now offer service to Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Puerto Rico will be coming first, and then Alaska and Hawaii will be available in early Q4 or in early October. For sellers looking to use that service, if you are already shipping to those locations, you don't need to do anything. Continue to offer eBay International Shipping. Your buyers will simply see it as an alternative choice. They will see both options and they can choose between them.
So sellers have been kind of concerned about, well, wait a minute, I like shipping directly to Puerto Rico and I like shipping directly to Hawaii or Alaska. They can continue to offer that. And then the buyer can make up their mind when they see the two options and say, you know, I think I'll go with eBay International. And then that seller doesn't have to worry because it wasn't that the buyer was forced into it. They chose the eBay International Shipping. Oh, okay. That's good to know.
That's right. And for the sellers that aren't currently offering any shipping to those locations, eBay International Shipping will now be offered to those locations. And so then we'll be expanding your buyer base and you won't have any additional complexity by shipping to those the additional distance to either Puerto Rico, Alaska, Hawaii. Simply, you'll ship it to our hub in Chicago and we'll take care of the rest for you. Buyers will see it as an eBay International Shipping option. So we handle all that for you.
So there's no downside to sellers here. This is the good news.
Exactly.
And a lot of upside, because if there's buyers that you've been hesitant to make your items available to because of their location, you don't have to worry about it anymore. And I'll remind you that with eBay International Shipping, all you have to do as a seller is get it to the hub. Once it's delivered there, it's out of your hands. No more responsibility. It goes off shipping directly to the customer in their location, whether it's international, Puerto Rico, or Hawaii, soon Hawaii and Alaska. And you're covered with the protections that eBay International Shipping offers. That's really good news.
And then following up on our announcement within the summer seller update. So in the summer seller update, we also announced that we would be changing the way that eBay International Shipping looks at seller exclusions for different markets that sellers exclude. So now eBay International Shipping, if you exclude a specific market, but you also ship through eBay International Shipping, that market is available to buyers through eBay International Shipping, but not available to the buyer through a self-ship international service. That has been going really well. We've gotten really positive, both buyer and seller feedback. The protections are working really well. One thing I want to ensure to remind sellers, from the perspective of reports related to either Vero or verified rights owner or parallel imports, you are protected so that if a report comes in, we make sure to update your listing. We pull those down. So that if a rights owner reports your listing, we make sure to pull those listings down with no negative consequences to you. You continue to receive all of the protections on a sale related to eBay International Shipping, but we are protecting you through the entire life cycle of that listing on any transactions or any of those listings within the program as we've expanded your reach to new locations.
And we should make it clear, when you say you take the listings down, it's not that the listings are ended, I'm assuming. It's just that they're no longer visible in those countries.
That's precisely right. We should absolutely clarify that. We've only made it such that the listing is still available domestically, so buyers can still see it. We've just removed that listing from eBay International Shipping so that it's no longer in violation of the rights owner's claim.
And again, sellers don't have to do anything.
Correct.
We take care of it. And that's great. Chad, I want to thank you so much for stopping by with these updates. It's always helpful. I'm sure our sellers will appreciate it. We'll look for future announcements as the eBay International expansion continues in August to Puerto Rico, and then later, perhaps in October, to Hawaii and Alaska. Thanks again, Chad.
My pleasure.
Chad Stewart is the Director of U.S. Exports for our shipping team, and he just gave us some really cool updates about shipping enhancements, mostly to eBay International Shipping that you can look forward to in the coming months. Getting to know your buyers can help establish relationships that can lead to repeat business. Big businesses pay a fortune in the pursuit of repeat customers, but on eBay, you don't have to spend anything. We provide the tools and channels for you to get to know your buyers better. Our guest this week is Aaron White. He's in our customer support organization, and he's got five ways that you can get to know your buyers better. Welcome to the podcast, Aaron.
Hey, Griff. Thanks for having me today. It's good to see you. And definitely, you're right. There are a lot of different ways that I think that eBay helps us be able to interact with our consumers. And one of those ways would be sending offers to buyers. Now, when you go in your active listings page, you'll be able to see at the top of the page, it typically shows you how many eligible items that you have that you're able to send offers to buyers. Now, the great thing about being able to send offers to these buyers is that these buyers are already interested in your items, and they've also turned on the feature for you to be able to send the offers to the buyer. So they want to interact with you. So, you know, you can initially send that offer to the buyer, and then if it's something that may get declined, they may be able to even message you, and then it can start the conversation of a sale as well. So it's nice to be able to say, hey, they've turned on the feature to where they want to interact with you. So being able to send that offer to the buyer lets them know that you're active on your account and you're initially wanting to take action to communicate with said buyers in your community.
Yeah, I've actually had that happen to me last year where I had an offer sent out on a bunch of items and there was a woman who really wanted one of the antiques I was selling. And I think the conversation went on for days before she finally bit the bullet and paid the offer price. But it was I learned a lot about this buyer and her family and the history that related to the item itself. So yeah, it really worked in that case.
And that's probably what made that sale special for you, right? I mean, at the end of the day. And then, so you also have the initiation of another one that's called best offers. Now, best offers is another good way to interact with your buyers, being that you can have a buyer send you an offer. Now, well, another thing I like about the best offer portion is because some sellers will say, well, I have so many items and I don't want to field so many messages. You can also turn on an auto decline for offers that are under the threshold. So you'd only interact with true offers that you actually want to entertain. So then you know that you have a serious buyer. And so it makes sense for you to want to communicate with this buyer and talk about an offer that you may accept or maybe negotiate a better offer.
Great way to start a negotiation and a great way to start a conversation. Our next one is a little unusual because we haven't really talked a lot about it, and it's buyer groups and followers. Can you fill us in on how that works?
Yeah, that's definitely one of our newer ones. So if you go into the marketing section in the Seller Hub, and you'll see where it says buyer groups. So what this means is you'll be able to go in there and you'll be able to see buyers that have actually purchased from you. And then you'll also have buyers that actually follow your account. In this aspect, what you're looking to try to do is you're trying to, one, try to get these repeat buyers to come back and purchase from you by, you can give them a coupon incentive. And so this is going to be a private coupon just to the buyers that actually purchased from you before, or you can do it to buyers that are actually following you, or you can do it to a mass reach from buyers that are following you and that have purchased from you before or haven't purchased from you before and try to get reach a larger mass. This is a great way, one, to be able to, if you have new inventory coming in, and you want to highlight the new inventory coming in, and maybe you want to give your repeat buyers the first chance at it until you give them 10 or 20% off, or maybe you want to offload some old inventory. And so you build a category and you give a coupon to that category in that old inventory, or if maybe it's holidays coming up. So you want to offer out coupons to people that are following you or people that have already purchased from you. Just another way for you to interact with these particular buyers that are already following you, have already purchased from you. So then at the end of the day, you can start to build your community.
Yeah. Can you actually message with people in buyer groups or people who are following?
You cannot message them directly, but what you are able to do is you're able to create a coupon. And then in that coupon, you'll be able to have a message in the coupon.
Oh,
so
okay.
You would be able to message to the masses of maybe what the coupon would be about. So you could say something like along the lines of, thank you all for purchasing from me before. Here is my fall coupon of 30% off for my previous buyers.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah.
Something like that.
We have talked about social as a way of getting sales indirectly by establishing social conversations on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram. What is your advice when it comes to using social?
The real reason I really like for folks to use social is because, one, if you have a social presence, then that means that you're immersing yourself in the community, whether it be you selling trading cards or whether it be that you're selling sneakers. If you have some of your product on there, that's one thing. But there's going to be a community of like-minded people that are going to follow you on your social. They may like that you, hey, you're a shoe seller. They may like that you trade in cards. You also may run into people that also collect or they'll also sell like you. So now you're going to get merit into what you're saying because you're not going to be speaking to people that don't understand what it is that you do. They're going to be like-minded people. They're going to also have some of the same similar feedback that you're saying, and they're going to relate to what it is that you're talking about because they're in that world. So when you do decide to say, hey, here's a tip or here's some feedback or here's something that I'm doing on my platform, they're also going to be able to say, oh, relate to it. Not only that, they may be able to say, oh, well, here's something that I've done, and you may be able to learn something there too. So put your links on social. Everyone should know that you sell on eBay. It shouldn't be something that is kept quiet because you want those in your community to support you, and you're already taking initiative to be in the community, so you might as well shout it out loud and let them know that you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. The fifth tool or channel that you mentioned is newsletters. What is a newsletter? How do I get one started? And how do they work when it comes to interacting with buyers?
Yeah, so your newsletter is definitely going to be kind of how you tell your journey about how you may have got started selling on eBay or just kind of what your store is all about. If you have in a store, you go into Manage My Store, and on the left-hand side, you'll see where it says Store Newsletter. So you'll be able to go in there, and typically what you want to do is you want to build a banner, which will have your logo on it. And then you can choose how often you want to send out your newsletters. So you can send out your newsletters once a week. You can send them out once a month or no more than twice a month because people who do follow you can only receive a newsletter once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
One way that you would ask for people to follow you is after someone maybe purchases something from you, you would send the message, say, hey, thanks for the purchase. Please follow my newsletter. So they'll be able to follow you in the newsletter. They can see it in the settings on the left-hand side. It can say follow seller. And then it's just kind of like almost now it's really integrated into buyer groups and followers. It's kind of one of the reasons why they made that extra feature. So that way we can kind of get more visibility of who is following us and kind of get more analytics on that. Those are now going hand in hand. But like I said, using that store newsletter allows it to say, hey, this month, I just got some new inventory of Nikes in. Or, hey, this month, I'm offloading Oakleys in this category for 20% off. So it kind of gives you a little voice to your followers to let them know what you have coming next. So just a little bit more of like a retail market stuff that we see, like we get in the mail these days, those that you get that flyer. Hey, here's what we got going on.
Are there ways to customize your newsletter?
There really wouldn't be ways per se to customize a newsletter. Now you'd be able to have templates as into how you want to showcase your newsletter, whether it might be a welcoming newsletter to bringing on new people that have just started following you, or if you want to highlight new products and collections that you're going to be offering, or whether if you're going to start a new coupon or a sell event, you know, or order discount or something along those lines. So you would really just be you'd be highlighting those topics or the topic that you're going to have your newsletter about.
And how do I encourage people to follow me so that they can get my newsletter? I know I can't just spam a bunch of buyers. They actually have to agree to get the newsletter. How do I do that?
This would be correct. So the ideal, what you would want to be doing is for those buyers that actually have purchased from you, you could send a message and ask them to follow you. And when they follow you, they will have the option to get the newsletter.
These are great tips on how to get to know your buyers better. I wanted to ask you before we go, do you buy or sell on eBay?
I do some good buying on eBay right now. I have a catering company, so I look for some catering things that I need on eBay. At one point in time, I did a little bit of selling, but I think maybe buying might be more my lane. I like to cook, so I'm always looking for some new stuff to cook in the kitchen. Or I've actually got some good sauces off of eBay, surprisingly enough. Yeah, so I think I'm a little bit more on the buying side these days.
I've been on both. They're both fun and they're both enjoyable. And of course, as a seller, we appreciate buyers, so thank you for that. and continued success. We appreciate you stopping by and talking to us.
Thanks again. Thanks, Griff. Appreciate you. See you soon.
Aaron White is a growth advisor with the Pro Team here at eBay, and he had five great ways for you to get to know your buyers better and hopefully make them repeat customers.
You've got questions.
We've got answers. And this week's question is a good one. In fact, when it came in, I was champing at the bit to get it answered. It's from eBay seller Jamie and Kaomi. I know it's a long one, but would you mind reading it?
Absolutely. Hello, Kaomi and Griff, or should it be Griff and Kaomi? I'm inclined to go with the former.
Oh, no. I like Kaomi and Griff. If we were like a duo, like a performing duo, that has a good ring to it. Griff and Kaomi sounds like a law firm.
And then that's what we don't want. So we'll go with Kaomi and Griff.
Okay.
Thank you for doing this podcast. I love it. I've recently started networking with other eBay sellers. We have been reviewing some of my listings, and it was suggested that I do not type my own item specifics because that specific word wouldn't be on the left-hand search options for buyers to select when filtering. And therefore, the search engine wouldn't be able to read it. I've also heard the opposite from other resellers on YouTube. Here's an example.
Oh, brother.
Batik blouse women plus sizes pink top feminine pearl preppy elegant chic eBay.
That's a title?
I thought I just read out like a jumble. Yes, it is a title. Yeah. Whoa.
Okay.
This item has pearl beading on the sleeves, under accents. I would want to type in pearls and select beaded. It was suggested not to type pearls. Under themes, I have chosen classic, colorful, and preppy. I thought themes would be something relatable if I typed in additional themes like style aesthetics. For example, Barbiecore, because it is pink. Then for characters, I could see Elle Woods from Legally Blonde wearing this, but it was suggested not to type that in because it isn't featured on the blouse. With all of this said, does writing your own specifics help in the buyer search process? I think it does since eBay made it an option, but I could be wrong. It would be amazing if you could shed any light on us eBay shop owners. Thank you so much for your answer. My store name is The Style Sphere, and my username is DavisFi102122.
Okay, Jamie, that was a lot to unpack. So before we get to your item specifics question, we need to talk about your item title. Now, when you're listing any item, try to avoid adjectives that are not obvious keywords. You've only got 80 character spaces. So for example, in your title that Kaomi just read, you have words like boutique, feminine, preppy, elegant, and chic. And then you actually include the word eBay. I have no idea why. So none of those words are actual popular search words. That means buyers aren't using them to search. When in doubt, any title for an article of apparel, in this example, should have the brand name first. If it's unbranded, then start with anything that relates directly to the item. For example, its color, the material, the type of apparel, the size, the sleeve length. If there's room, add something that relates directly to the item that might be of interest. For example, pearl beading is a quality of the item that might be of interest to put it in the title.
Exactly. And that's a great point, Griff. I guess it is possible that a buyer might be searching for apparel with pearl beading, so that would be a good choice of keywords. But Jamie, we recommend that you don't waste space with editorial adjectives like boutique, feminine, preppy, elegant, chic, etc. No buyer searches on those keywords.
Yeah. The one that got me is feminine. It's in the woman's clothing category. We would just assume it's feminine, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah. I frequently, probably too much, too often, shop for clothing on eBay, and I don't think I ever really use those keywords to search for any piece. Like you were saying, like I usually try to filter it by color or what the item is. So is it a shirt? Am I looking for pants? And go through that.
Now, as far as the item specifics, Jamie, custom item specifics, the ones that a seller can provide both the label and the value, they can help supply information that the buyer may have missed in your description or title. So if they're looking through the item specifics, they may see your custom item specific, but a custom item specific is not searchable. And that is why it's important to fill in the existing relevant item specifics and wherever possible, use what's in the dropdown list. Now, I say relevant because if there is a specific that doesn't relate to your item, leave it blank. Don't put NA, don't put anything, just leave it blank. If an existing specific has a drop-down list of values and yours isn't on the list, write it in, type it in. Now, it may not be searchable right away, but if enough sellers use that value that you've typed in, it could be added by eBay in the future to that list. My advice, by the way, my tip, is make sure you use one word. So if you're typing a value into the drop-down list, try to keep it as one character string. Don't break it up. So if you were saying something like, I don't know, character, and it was Barbie, don't put Barbie core, put Barbie. Make it as simple as possible, and that can help. But again, you're better off trying to get the most important keywords into the title or selecting them from existing drop-down lists for the item specifics that eBay provides. And again, don't worry if you have to leave some blank. There was a misguided thing that we did several years ago with item specifics where we made it into kind of a gaming thing. And there was this blue circle. And the more item specifics you put in, the more that blue circle would complete. And sellers were thinking, if I don't complete the blue circle, my item won't appear. And they were putting in nonsense for item specifics. So it was exactly the opposite of what we were trying to do. So we removed that. I think that gaming isn't there anymore. It's a good thing it's gone. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you remember us talking about it several years ago. Anyway, so Jamie, we hope that works out for you. I did check your sold listings. You're doing pretty good, even with unbranded apparel. And I have to tell you, it is not easy selling unbranded apparel. There's a lot of it on eBay. So you must be doing something right. Keep doing the good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully these tips help.
Yes, we all will. Don't we always hope that? Hey, I adopted your tips. They didn't do anything for me. Oh, brother. Well, that's it for this week, Kaomi. We had room for one question.
Perfect. And it was a good question. And if you have a question about selling on the world's most powerful and sometimes a little overwhelming marketplace, why not ask us? You can call in your question at 888-723-4630.
Or if you prefer, you can email it to us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And remember to check the transcript for links referenced in the episode and check the eBay announcement board every day to stay up to date on eBay news, launches, and changes.
Now on our next episode, we'll talk with Elizabeth Rommel from the ads team here at eBay. She wants to talk about some recent changes to both the advertising dashboard and the way that the different options for promoting listings work now. So it's something that every seller should know. You want to tune in for that.
And of course, we'd like to again thank Chad Stewart from the shipping team and Aaron White from customer support for being our two guests this week.
Well, that's all for this week. Georgia Mampanis is our monthly co-host and guest coordinator.
I'm your weekly co-host, Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm our editor-in-chief and host, Griff. The eBay for Business podcast is produced in-house and distributed by Quill and Co-host. We'll see you next week.